नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्ता स्वामिनित्यनामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च अतिथानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासिदि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। I'm very grateful, very honored to be with all of you today. On behalf of the Govardhan Eco Village, I sincerely welcome you. To begin with, I'm against these air conditioners, but somehow or other they put them here because they were thinking the record-breaking heat make it very difficult for all of you to be comfortable. So please excuse that. Recently, just about 2 weeks ago, I was in Munich, Germany. And as I was going down one road, my host pointed out a particular small building and told me that a few people meeting in there began the Nazi Party, which gradually, with many reversals, expanded to conquer most of Europe and be the cause of an entire world war. Began with just a few people with practically no support. In Mumbai, in the Birla House, I was once giving a talk there, and they showed me a living room where Mahatma Gandhi and just a few others used to sit to discuss freeing India from the British rule. Began with just a few people talking, and with many challenges, it expanded. And we know what happened. In the corporate world, actually just a month ago, I was in Silicon Valley, and they were showing me the area where in a little garage Steve Jobs started with no support, nothing, just doing some little inventions, and gradually it became Apple Computer Company. So throughout history we find on all levels many of the greatest life-changing contributions, either positive or negative, have begun in very small ways with just a few like-minded people who were committed to the cause. This year is very special for myself because 50 years ago, My beloved Guru, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, left Vrindavan with no money, with nothing, but he wanted to spread the teachings of Prema Bhakti and Sanatan Dharma around the world, because he could see that people's disconnection from their own internal values, from their own atmas or souls, which was so much the root cause of dissatisfaction, pollution, and conflict. On Friday the 13th of August, alone in 1965, with only about 40 rupees, he boarded a cargo ship called Jaladuta, and in 38 days sailed across several oceans, several continents, and arrived in New York not knowing anyone and having nothing. But after a short time, in a little storefront on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, which was then a really downtrodden place, he gathered together just a few people who shared this idea to spread Sanatan Dharma, Prema Bhakti, throughout the world. And from that small little committed conference, we may say, hundreds of millions of Vedic literatures, over 500 temples, and many eco-friendly communities. It was his inspiration that inspired our developing this effort. One time, when his movement was really expanding, Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur, which is the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wanted to make this an international headquarters. When he first came there, it was just some very remote rice paddies and fields. And the leaders from his society from all over the world had gathered with him. And they were showing him some of their developments, a temple, a guest house, landscaping. And as they were walking with his cane, because Srila Prabhupada actually began his mission when he was 70 years old. That's when he went to the West. And a few years later, he was back in India. And as they were showing him all of the accomplishments they made, he pointed his cane into a remote field and very gravely said, "Can't you see?" And they looked into a field. And then he repeated, "Can't you see?" And they were, all they saw was a field. And he raised his voice, "Can't you see?" And they were thinking, maybe he's seeing Krishna, and we just don't have the eyes to see Krishna. And then he walked into the field, and there was a water outlet, a spigot, and it was dripping water. And he closed it very tightly. And then he came back. He said, "Can't you see that this is God's energy and it's being wasted?" He said, to be God conscious, to be Krishna conscious, means to be conscious, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, that everything is sacred property. Aham Bija Pratapita. And that God, who has many names and many faiths throughout the history of the world, who we call Krishna or Ram, is the father, mother of everyone. And whatever is within creation is for all children, not only of all races and all religions and all sexes and all social backgrounds, but all species. Everyone is a child of God, and everything is the property of God. And real dharma, real spiritual connection, is when we understand the need to be caretakers of that property, to share it with others. To live in harmony with ourselves, the body, mind, and the soul. To live in harmony with other human beings, with other species, and to live in harmony with the earth. Bhumi, who we call Mother Earth. That is real dharma. And actually, they are all inseparable. In today's world, science and technology has brought about so many great benefits. But unless there's wisdom of seeing the larger picture of how the choices that we make and the developments we create are actually bringing a wholesome present and a healthy future for everyone. A knife is neutral. If it's in the hands of a criminal, it will kill someone to take what they have. If that same knife is in the hands of a surgeon, it will save a life. So everything within this creation can be used in a very positive way or a very negative way, according to our consciousness. In my 65 years of going around this world, I don't see that there's an environmental problem. I see that there's a problem in human spirit. A problem in compassion. And real compassion is to see the larger picture. Every one of us share the same earth planet. We breathe the same air. We depend on the same sunshine. Just a few weeks ago, I was in California where there's a great drought. And even the wealthiest people in Bel Air and Beverly Hills are not allowed to water their very, very prized gardens of their homes because there's not enough water. And what to speak of the poor people? They can't even bathe or drink water hardly. Compassion very much must be understood in relation to the environment because it affects everyone. To understand deeply, to utilize our incredible human brains to go deep into the subject, spiritually, philosophically, socially, scientifically, and to provide to the villagers and to the people of the cities practical alternatives. And giving a higher consciousness to people, an education to people, wherein they are willing to understand the grave importance of those positive alternatives. Because all great things begin with little people making little choices and coming together. It is my great hope that this Nexus conference here at the Govardhan Eco Village, where like-minded people have come together with a real sense of urgency to put compassion and living in balance with each other and nature as a priority of our life, it can have a great effect. And we can be not just a part of a problem, but we can be together a part of a great solution that can transform humanity and transform the world. I thank you very much.